talking about the shield of faith. This morning in the first service, I talked about the supernatural power of peace. I'm doing two different services Sunday because I'm trying to get a lot done. I'm going to turn this into a book on spiritual warfare. But today we're talking about the shield of faith and how we can overcome the enemy's devices and his weapons. Before I get started, let me share something funny. And if you don't like this, blame my assistant, Linda. A bus of ugly people. I need to apologize in advance for this. A bus of ugly people had a head-on collision with a truck. They all died and went to heaven. And God gave all of them one request that they could ask. The first person said, "I want to be gorgeous, God." So God snapped his fingers and poof, they were gorgeous. The second person said the same thing. And God did it again. This went on and on throughout the whole group. God noticed, though, that the very last man in the line was laughing hysterically. By the time God got to the last 10 people, the last man was rolling on the ground laughing so hard. When the last man's turn finally came, he laughed and said to God, "I want them all to be ugly again." I'm suspicious about the theological accuracy of that joke. There's an entire chapter devoted to the topic of spiritual warfare. It's important, especially as believers, to focus on the things that are repetitive and that are emphasized in scriptures, especially the New Testament, for those things are being highlighted by God as being essential components to your Christian faith, your walk with God. Sometimes the church majors and minors, and we kind of get in theological trouble by these offshoots, these rabbit trails. But here's a whole passage of scripture talking about the topic of spiritual warfare. And let's just go through it again. Ephesians 6:10, the Bible says, "Finally, in conclusion, and even most importantly, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might." God doesn't call strong people. God makes called people strong. You don't have to worry if you're not strong because your God's strong. And when you hang with him, he makes you strong. He renews our strength. Remember what Isaiah said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength," replenish their capacity for spiritual, physical, emotional strength. They'll run and not go weary, walk and not faint. Verse 11 says, "Put on therefore," so God gives us the command to be strong, and then he gives us the pathway. He gives us the promise. He gives us the truth, the understanding. Here's how you do that. Put on the whole armor of God. Say with me, whole armor of God. So whole, the word armor is panoplia. The panoply was the full military and display armor of a Roman infantry soldier. And so Paul's now going to liken all of the implements of this armor to a spiritual truth that helps you overcome in life. You're made to overcome because you were born again to be an overcomer. Your God is a champion, and your DNA is to overcome. Put on, therefore, the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is the Greek word methodia. It means strategy. It means trickery, to lie in wait, to get someone. And so the devil's smart. He's smarter than people. He's never smarter than God. When you're in God, you're smarter than him. When you're in yourself, you're not. And so we all of us face the strategy of the enemy. So everybody has different weak spots and different vulnerabilities, and Satan studies those and devises tactics, weaponry, thoughts, assaults according to that weakness in you. And so God gives you armor to overcome the tactics of the enemy. Amen. We do not wrestle, verse 12 says, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So verse 12 says, our fight's not with people. If you got to hate somebody, hate the devil. Love people. Fight the devil. Forgive people. Whenever we're fighting people, we just make things worse. That doesn't mean there's not things happening with people. There's not, that there's injustice, there's pain, there's all of those things. I get all of that. But we overcome spiritually. So battles are won spiritually before they're won naturally. And so when you win things in the spirit, then they appear, they manifest, they will happen in the flesh. So we don't fight against people. It's so important because the church must be the loving community that models unity and love to a world that's kind of broken apart by all kinds of schisms, all kinds of offense, all kinds of hatred or prejudice. So we have to model that, amen? So here at CFTN, we have over 100 nationalities, and we're trying to model racial unity. It's hard because we're all different. We have different, you know, backgrounds and different stories. But what makes us able to come together is Jesus. Jesus gives us love for people that aren't like us. So I don't have to go to an all-white church, and you don't have to go to an all-black or brown church, because Jesus makes us, we all, by the blood of Jesus, we're all one. So it's a big deal, okay? We're not perfect. Everything we do here is not perfect, but at least we're trying, okay? So I just encourage my friends, just try, man. Just reach some people that don't look like you. Okay, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all or overcome all, stand. So the idea of battle is, if you're standing and the battle's over, you won. So everyone else is dead or wounded. Okay. So if you're standing, if the devil can't knock you down, you win. Okay? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Last week we talked about the power of honesty. The power of integrity. It's the secret to being strong is getting rid of your secrets. Okay? Secrets kill you. They weaken you. They empower the enemy against you. The devil's he's God of darkness. When darkness is in you, there's a mastery over you. But when you let the light of integrity in, then you disarm the enemy. So we put on our waist with truth, and then we put on the breastplate of righteousness. I talked about that Wednesday night. Our identity, being justified through Christ Jesus, being right with God because of Jesus. And really, in the New Testament, the idea of righteousness means your identity. I am a child of God. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I'm delivered. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm called. All the things that God says about you, when you think about that, you're thinking righteously. Because righteousness is not something you achieve. It's something you receive. So I don't try to be good enough that God says I'm righteous. I am righteous. Holiness is the fruit of righteousness, not vice versa. So we put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I talked about that first service. Get the tape or listen to the podcast, the power, the supernatural power of peace. But here we are in verse 16. But above all, take the shield of faith. Say it with me, shield of faith. Okay, so above all, a couple of things, outside of all. So all the other things you're wearing personally, the shield of faith you would hold outside of your body in a battle. But now he's also highlighting its importance. Above all, take the shield of faith, which will allow you to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the word fiery darts is the Greek word belos, B-L-O-S. And belos means, I put it in your notes, it's a fascinating word, a specially made long slender arrow with a hollow interior that was filled with flammable fluids that upon impact exploded into a raging fire. So the Romans had so advanced military strategies and weaponry, they created the first hand grenade. So they would hollow out these arrows, they would fill it with some kind of flammable liquid, and it would explode upon impact. And so it wasn't just an arrow, it was a exploding arrow. It wasn't just a singular weapon, it was a hand grenade from hell. Okay? So he said the devil's trying, he's shooting these fiery darts at you, but your shield of faith can put out that fire. You can extinguish fires that try to ignite your soul in whatever. So these fiery darts are what? They're thoughts. They're almost always thoughts. They're thoughts, though, that have a spiritual genesis. And they have a spiritual atmosphere to it. So it's not just a normal thought. It's a thought that has an explosive or destructive consequence if you let it into your consciousness, if you receive it into your being. So when our faith shield is up, we put out those thoughts. So the word shield in the Greek is the Greek word theros. It means door. A Roman soldier's shield was about 4 foot tall. It was rectangular, so it looked like a door, hence the name. And it was usually made from 6 or 7 layers of treated leather. And when they were compressed together, it made it as strong as a metal shield would be, although it would be lighter. And it was the only part of the Roman armor, of the panoply, that required daily service or maintenance. So every day, if you walk past the tents of the Roman soldiers, you could see them in their tents with their shields on the ground, and they were taking rags filled with oil and rubbing oil into their shield to keep the shields from becoming brittle. Because if they were untreated, if they were unmaintained, the leather would harden, and upon impact, it would break and shatter. So you had to treat your shield. You had to daily maintain your faith. So they would do that. And then the last thing they would do as they marched out to battle, there would be these massive, huge drums of water. And the Roman soldiers would take their shields and they would drop it into the water so that their shields were dripping with fresh water when they were on the battlefield. And when the flaming arrow came in, the water on their shield would extinguish the arrow. See, God says to us, your faith is the way you overcome the enemy's assaults. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. So you have world conquering, world overcoming faith in you, but your faith has to be maintained. Your faith has to be daily developed. Your faith has to, you have to rub the oil of revelation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word spoken by God's mouth. You have to rub the word of the oil of a fresh word into your soul. You have to bathe yourself in the water of his word every day. So when your shield is properly maintained, the devil can't get at you. But you can tell when your faith shield is low, when stuff's getting to you. These people, I can't work with these people. They're all crazy. Stuff. So when irritations are getting to you, so our prayer is, oh God, take all these dysfunctional people out of my life. And God says, that's like the whole world. What do you want me to do? So God says, no. Build up your faith. Build up your faith, and you can go through the same exact circumstances yesterday, but you won't be disturbed because your faith will put out the fiery darts of thoughts that are happening in your world. So when my faith is low, things explode in my life, and so things happen. But when my faith is appropriate and strong and nurtured and maintained, God gave me the spiritual power to overcome the enemy's arrows of attack by faith. Your faith makes you an overcomer. Come on now. Your faith makes it. And so the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God feeds your faith. So you got to get this, because faith is like a muscle. The other day I was in staff meeting sitting next to Pastor Cal from CFTN Chandler. So he lifts weights every day. His bicep was like huge. And I'm sitting right next to him. I get short sleeve shirt. I'm looking at my arm, looking at his arm. And look. It's like a before and after picture of a, you know. I go. But the problem is, I knew the only way to get what he has is to do what he did. I'm like, no. I don't got 2 hours a day, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be in there. I'm 60. I don't care. So our problem is you can't cheat your way to strength in the kingdom. You have to feed yourself strong. Your diet determines your destiny. Your diet determines your quality of strength. So if you want more faith, then you have to have more faith food. You have to fuel your faith with God's word. God's word in your faith develops, okay? Your faith becomes strong. This is essential because you're made to overcome the enemy. But if you have undeveloped faith, then it looks like you have overwhelmed life. But that's not the way God made it to be. So you're a history maker. You're a world shaker. You're an overcomer. That's your DNA in Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified Bible says faith perceives as real fact what has not yet been revealed to the senses. So faith is substance. So faith is quantifiable. So Jesus said to his disciples, how come you have no faith? Another time he said, how come you have little faith? Another time he said, he said to a man, you have great faith. And Christ marveled at faith. So there was no faith, little faith, more faith, much faith, great faith. So Christ measured by people's interaction with him the level of their faith. The more fear they had, the less faith they had. So the book of Corinthians says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So our five senses don't become the primary dictators of our decisions and actions because we live by faith. We're faith people. And that means we're word people. And that means that we have a shield up when stuff's happening, that we're not affected by every little thing that's happened, that we're able to put out those fiery darts that come against us, no matter if it's something someone said or just an attack on our mind. We can overcome those things because your faith is stronger in God, okay? So your faith makes you an overcomer. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. But without faith, you can't get saved. You can't believe God. So everything you get in the kingdom is by faith. God gives us the gift of faith. We use our faith to believe his promises. And that's how it works. And so, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So here's what faith does. For he that comes to God, faith comes to God. Number two, must believe that he is. Faith believes that God is. And here's where we lose some people. And that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now you have to get this because this is where we lose people. So some people pray prayers. Well, God, you know, if you want to answer this prayer, go ahead. If you're in a good mood. I just pray, you know, if you want to do this, that's not really faith. Now, we can consecrate our life and dedicate our life and say, God, I want your will in my life. But when you have faith, you specifically ask God for a promise. See, we don't pray problems, we pray promises. Don't pray the problem, pray the promise. So, God, I thank you that your word says, by your stripes I'm healed. I claim it today that I'm healed in Christ's name. So I claim boldly, confidently, in faith, what God has said is mine through Christ. So faith, then, is rewarded. God loves to reward faith. God loves to honor faith. Now, there's complexity to all these things, but I'm just a simple Bible preacher. And so I believe stuff God said. I don't know why everyone's not healed, but it never stops me from believing for everyone to get healed. I don't know why everyone's not saved, but it doesn't stop me from believing for everyone in my city to get saved. So with me, God says certain things. I just say, okay, I believe that. I believe that. I receive that. I claim that. I'm going to live in that. I feel like that's my obligation. The rest, I just live up to God. I don't know everything that God's blocked me from understanding, but I do know he said in his word clearly, plainly, specifically, dynamically, directly to us, we can claim that he's a rewarder. God loves to answer prayer. God loves to reward faith. And so that's a great, in the Greek, that word rewarder is a great compound word. It means when an employer reimbursed an employee for expenses he spent to get the job done. So if your boss said, I need you to do this, go get it done, and whatever it costs, bring back the expenses, I'll reimburse you. So God loves us to use the credit card and say, God, I'm believing. God, you said this would happen, so I'm believing. I'm stepping out in faith. He loves to reimburse us by answering those faith actions in our life. Okay? That's the way God is. For time's sake, let me move to chapter Mark 11. Jesus said, have faith in God. Right after he cursed the fig tree, the next day the disciples saw it dying from the roots up. And said, Master, look at the tree you cursed. It's dying. So Jesus said, have faith in God. And then he said this, my faith did that. He said, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart that those things shall be done, he'll have whatever he says. Faith is initiated by hearing. Faith is activated by saying, and faith is demonstrated by doing. And so your faith has to say something in order for it to step into. Beliefs are passive, or beliefs are powerful, but faith is when you say what you believe. So Jesus said, speak the stuff. God can't do it until you say it. So you got to say stuff. You got to talk to your problems. You got to talk. When the devil sends in fiery arrows, you got to send the sword back to him. You got to say, okay, I'm glad you brought that up, devil. You're a liar. My family's going to be saved. My body's going to be healed. You got to start. You repel him. And so Jesus said, here's how faith works. In Matthew chapter 8, there's a great story. A centurion came to Christ and said, my servant's at home sick. And Jesus said, okay, let's go to your house and heal him. And the centurion said, Master, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. And he said this, speak a word only, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does this. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those that followed, assuredly I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Can you imagine having faith that makes Jesus marvel? Now, here's what the man understood, that the kingdom of God is a government. And he saw how it worked. The centurion understood watching Christ move. And he said, the way you release your soldiers is by your commands. So you don't have to come to my house. Just speak your word here. And your word from here will heal my servant there. Sister Rose in our church, a wonderful missionary from Africa who's a part of our outreach, I guess in Tucson now. She came to me and her son. She told me her son in Kenya had been put into a mental institution. The witch doctors had cursed him. She started telling me all these things. And he hadn't spoken for, I don't know, a few months. So he was completely incapacitated, bound up in a... So all mental hospitals are tough, but in the third world, they're horrific. So he's in a mental institution. And so in the parking lot right up there, I said, well, I grabbed her hand and said, I'm going to send God's word to him right now. Father, Psalm 107 verse 20 says, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Now, I send your word to Rose's son. I command the spirit to let him go. I loosen the full recovery of his cognitive abilities. I loosen him to come into his right mind right now in Christ's name. Amen. I walked away. So next Sunday, she comes racing toward me. Pastor. She said, what's up? She says, remember when we prayed last week? Yeah. She said, well, it took 2 days, but my son finally got back to me. He said, Mama, something happened to me last Sunday. I was in my cell, and all of a sudden, all the confusion left me, all the oppression left me, and I was healed, and I'm back home. He's an entrepreneur, a businessman. I'm in my business. Everything's good again because that's how faith. So Jesus said he marveled that the centurion understood how faith worked. Another great story in your Bible. It's in your notes. Jesus was on his way to pray for a little girl that was sick. And on his way there, he was interrupted by another woman who was sick. And this miracle happened in Mark chapter 5. You can read it with me, please. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Everybody say 12 years. I don't care how long you've had it, Jesus can still heal it. Okay, never accept something permanent that's only supposed to be temporary. So she's been sick 12 years, and she'd suffered many things from many physicians. That's not a knock on doctors. Can you imagine the treatments, the experimental treatments, whatever they're trying to help her, nothing's working, and they're having even a negative consequence. And she spent all that she had. Now listen to me, your unhealed issues never go away by themselves. Time doesn't heal all wounds, Jesus heals all wounds. Okay? I meet people all the time, and so when I'm counseling someone, and they thought they could outrun a problem from their childhood, but the longer you live, the slower you go, and the more your issues catch up to you. And people have these devastating these breakdowns in midlife. It's because of unhealed issues in their soul. And it costs a lot of money. Your unhealed issue will cost you everything. And she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, someone shout Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, in the Greek it says, for she kept saying, if I just touch him, I'll be made whole. If I just touch him, who's she talking to? Herself. She doesn't have a lot of fans. She doesn't have a lot of support. When you're sick for 12 years, when professionals don't know how to treat you, when everything, she's talking. See, you have to turn inside and say, David said, soul, shut up and bless God. That's how David would start a church. Why are you disquieted in me? Get it together. And she said, if I can get to him, I'll be. Someone said that today about getting to church. If I can get there, then we think she probably crawled through the crowd on her hands and knees, this massive mob. It was an unruly, often violent, physical mob. They're all trying to touch Christ. And so the Bible says, immediately when she touched Jesus, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. But Jesus, knowing in himself that power, dunamis, had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched me? The geniuses around him said, Master, you see the multitude thronging you. Why do you say, who touched me? Jesus said, you don't understand. They're touching out of curiosity. But someone touched me out of faith. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that she had made a withdrawal, an unapproved withdrawal. And Jesus walking along, all of a sudden, dunamis leaves him. Who did that? He's not upset, but she doesn't know that. Fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened, came and bowed down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith can heal you. Your faith can deliver you. Your faith can restore you. Your faith is a shield. The devil can't penetrate when it's up. Your faith is an anointed part of the armor that God's given you to overcome. You are a history maker and a world shaker. And your faith can make you whole. Thank you for listening to me today. Would you stand to your feet, please?